Amen, 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 amen. Well, are you guys ready to receive today? Let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we'd be going quickly to a couple places, and we'll have that up on the screen. But I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, to Mark chapter 6. I'll be reading on the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions. But so you can read with us word for word, we'll have that up on the screen. I want to ask you a question before we get started. How many of you feel like there are situations in your life, maybe it's a situation that you're going through right now, and you feel like God is wanting you to believe him for something, but what he's wanting you to believe is just in your mind is unbelievable. And maybe there's a situation and it's been going on for so long, and God says, I want you to start believing that that situation is going to change. But in your mind, you're thinking, it's difficult. Somebody. Okay, now put your hands down. All right, now tell the truth. Somebody. That's what I thought. Okay. And that's what I want to help you with today. I want to show you from the Word of God really what's going on. And really, I am so into getting on the solution side. I don't like talking about problems. I mean, I don't mind problems, because in life you're going to have problems. I just want to, as quick, okay, tell me the problem that we could figure out the solution. How many like that way? I don't want, you know what I mean? Let's figure out the solution. I want to talk to you about the solution. But I need to state the problem. The problem is that God asks you to do something, or is you're dealing with something, wants you to believe something, and you feel like remember the man, and he brought his son to God, and he wanted God to heal him, and he says, and I love this portion of scripture. He says, you know, Lord, I believe, and then you can almost hear just the honesty, just the real response that comes out of him. He says, Lord, I believe, and then he says, Lord, help my unbelief. I think we can be that way sometimes, where we know that the Christian response is believe, and we are believing, and we are like, yeah, and then life comes in. Then he's dealing with what's going on with his family, with his child, and it freaks him out, and he recognizes, and that's what happens. Fear comes in, and we start thinking about, well, yeah, but it's been this way for a long time. I don't know that it'll ever change. Well, let me tell you this. We've got to understand that it is critical that we trust and believe in God. It's absolutely critical. Now, in this passage, let's go over it real quick, because this is really going to help us. Starting Mark chapter 6, verse 1. When he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. Everybody said he came to his own country. He's coming back home, okay? He's gonna go home and you know, eat some grits, you know, back home. Have some collard greens. Amen. Gonna have some menudo. Okay, yeah, I got no response till I came to the menudo. Okay, gonna have some menudo. Okay, so, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which he is given?" They were like, "Man, this is good." That such mighty works are performed by his hand. They are hearing of the supernatural things that God has done. And listen to me, up to this point, God has done super, Jesus Christ has done supernatural things, healings, just remarkable up to this point. But watch this. But then they start saying this, is this not the carpenter's son? Wait a minute. Yeah, we heard that he's all that, and you know, a bag of chips, doing all these radical things, but wait a minute. Dude, I went to junior high with that dude. Right? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Watch this. And are not his sisters? Dude, his sisters are right here. Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Who you think you? Yeah, you think you're all gonna get here and teach in the synagogue? Think you're all that in a bag of chips? Watch this. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and his own house." Man, there's no honor. Let me tell you what. When you will not value Jesus Christ, let me tell you what. I'll show it to you in a minute. You are the one who's going to not walk in the blessings that God wants you to walk in. When we don't trust in God, we hurt ourselves. That's why this is so important. Watch this. Now, this is Jesus. Now, Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he lay hands on a few sick people and healed them. One version says, except that he was able to heal a couple of minor ailments. Okay. All other places in the Bible, you know what, where Jesus is going, the people are coming, they're getting healed, they're bringing people, watch this, they're bringing people from the surrounding villages. Why are they bringing people? Why are they bringing the lame and the deaf and the mute? Here's why. Because let me tell you what, you don't bring somebody, you know what, nobody goes to the doctor. Oh, what are you doing? I'm going to the doctor. You know, he ain't going to do anything for me, but I'm going to the doctor. You know what I mean? You know, where are you going? I'm going to Tommy's. Why are you going to Tommy's? Oh, no, I'm not hungry, but I'm going to Tommy's. No, you go to Tommy's because you're hungry. Is that not right? They're bringing people to him because they know he's going to get him healed. There's this faith and trust that Jesus Christ is going to heal him. Is that not right? And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he marveled. Everybody say marveled. It's like unbelievable. You know, there's only one other place in the Word of God where the Bible says that Jesus marveled. You know when it was? Only one other place. And it was when the guy who said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak a word and this person will be whole at my house. And Jesus marveled at that. He marveled at his faith. But here he's not marveling, he's marveling at their unbelief. I say all that to set you up, and here's what I want you to catch, okay? So these people don't believe that Jesus, you know what, they're offended, they don't believe that Jesus is all that in bag of chips, and they're not receiving from him. This is so important. You know what? If you will not honor Jesus Christ, you will not receive from him. Let me just cut to the chase, because I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you before I tell it to you now, okay? Here's what I want you to know. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to read your Bible every day, okay? And I'll tell you this. And for many of you, okay, let me ask you this. How many of you have been saved for longer? Raise your hand real high. Don't give me like this. Okay, raise your hand real high. Tell me, how many have been saved for longer than 3 years? Okay, now look around the room. That's a lot of people. Okay, now listen. Okay, for you who raise your hand, we're going to get to it in a minute. We read it. But there's something you need to be very conscious of, that your ears become dull of hearing. I want you to understand that here's what Jesus knows. These people, they're not receiving him. They're not believing him. And because they don't believe in him, they're not receiving. So he cannot, that's what the Bible says, he cannot do these radical things that he wants to do. Can I tell you what? God wants to do radical things in your life. But he cannot. This is a radical truth. But understand this, that you can limit God in what he wants to do for you by your unbelief. And we live in a society where we don't want to take responsibility. We want to do what Adam did. We want to say, no, it ain't my fault, man. It's her fault. Listen. It's her fault, and it's God, it's your fault. It's this woman, and we do the same thing. But God wants us to be responsible, and he wants us to say, no. Let me tell you what. Pay attention. They didn't receive, but they didn't receive because Jesus couldn't heal. They didn't receive because they didn't trust in God. They're like, oh, this guy's... And when you devalue Jesus Christ, okay, getting back to last week's sermon, when you are too busy to open up the Word of God, you're saying to yourself, I'm fine. I got enough wisdom for myself. I don't need his wisdom. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And so, but here's what I want you to catch. Then, when these people don't believe him, then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. It's so interesting because you can read little captions like that and you just think they're fillers. You know, and these people, and then he went around, in the circuit, okay. Then he went around the village, okay, next verse 7. No, stop, not verse 7. Stay at verse 6. This is the antidote to unbelief. This is the antidote to unbelief. So, listen, and it's fine that you would be honest and say, man, Lord, I believe. Oh, really? I don't believe. Help my unbelief. It's fine you say that. What's not fine is that you don't take the antidote. The antidote is that Jesus is saying, okay, I got a problem. So here's how I'm going to fix the problem. I'm going to start teaching these people. Here's what Jesus knows. You know what? Romans. You know what? Romans chapter 10, verse 7. What's it say? Faith comes through what? Hearing. But notice what it says. So then faith comes through hearing and hearing. Everybody say faith comes through hearing and hearing. Through hearing and hearing. Everybody, through hearing and hearing. See, so he's doing the circuit. You know what a circuit is? Circuit is, okay, on Monday I'm going to be in Pico Viera. On Tuesday I'm going to be in Montebello. On Wednesday I'm going to be in Downey. And on Thursday I'm going to be in Hacienda Heights. Right? And then on next Monday I'm going to go back to Pico Rivera. And Tuesday I'm going to be in Montebello. On Wednesday, do you understand? That's a circuit. Everybody say circuit. So he's here, and then he's here, and in the villages. He's at this village, then he comes to this village, then he goes to this village, then he goes back to the village that he started at. That's a circuit. The orbits are a circuit. They come back around where they came from before. That's what he's doing. Why is he coming back? Because he knows faith comes through hearing. Everybody say hearing. So we need to hear this over and over and over again. And what happens is, as you're listening over and over and over and over again, all of a sudden that unbelief gets rooted up and you start to believe. And the minute that you start to believe in God is the minute that he can start doing supernatural things in your life. Somebody tweet that. The minute that you start believing God is the minute that he can start to do supernatural things in your life. See, unbelief is the enemy. And God knows that's the enemy. He doesn't get upset. He goes, man, these people are stupid. I'm out of here. You know what? They didn't even believe me. You know what I mean? He doesn't do that. Here's what he does. He says, I'm going to fix the problem. Here's how he fixes the problem. I'm going to fix the problem by teaching people. Faith comes through hearing and hearing. Now, you saw it this week. Hopefully you read it this week. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, let's see what the Word of God is. What does God call it? For the Word of God is living. Everybody say it's living. Living. And powerful. Say it's powerful. What's it powerful to do? It's powerful to get your unbelief out. Everybody say, unbelief is the problem. Okay. And the antidote to unbelief is the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay. Wow. Let's break that down. It's a discerner of what's really going on in your heart. Have you ever allowed the Holy Spirit to judge your motive? And you're like, no, I got you that candy because I wanted to get you that candy because I'm so sweet. Amen. And the Holy Spirit says, you got him that candy because you wanted to borrow his car. Have you ever been in church and you're like, you're sitting there in your church, you're like, oh, and you got the halo over your head. You're like, oh, la, you know, And then the preaching of the word starts to come, and the halo starts to get really fuzzy. And you think, oh my goodness, hello, what's taking place? That word that's sharper than a two-edged sword is piercing through that smoke screen, and it's judging what's really going on. Now this is critical, because what we have a tendency to do, I'm telling you, there are Christians that will be offended at a sermon like this because nobody talks about my mama and nobody questions my faith. Okay, well, listen, you need to question your faith. You need to be, listen, Jesus did it all the time. In the Word, you see it all the time. This questioning of, man, you don't, Jesus just straight up saying, you don't believe. And we need to look at it and say, man, that, can I tell you what? Not believing God is a sin. You know what we think of sin? We think it's a sin if anybody questions your belief. Well, listen, I don't want to question your belief. I want you to question your belief. I want you to start to analyze it. And that's one of the reasons why I want you to read the Bible every day, because what will happen is all the chuck and jiving, love you guys, that you do. Wow, it's like quiet in here. All the chuck and jiving that you do, the Holy Spirit is able to cut it out and get rid of it. And you're like, oh my goodness. I'm like, I love you. I'm like a little manipulator. Hello. It's sharp. Just watch up on the screen. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Look what it says. But Peter, standing up with the 12, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to start to stand up and preach to them. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. This is when the Holy Spirit had manifest in a radical way on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one accord, and they start speaking in tongues, and they all think, oh, you guys are all drunk. You know, blah, blah, blah. You're just drunk. And he's like, we ain't drunk. You know what I mean? This is what was revealed by the prophet. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now look what he says. Now, here's what he's going to do. Now he's going to start to quote the Old Testament. And in the preaching, he quotes the Old Testament three times. What's he doing? He's preaching the Word of God. And he's preaching the Word of God, and he says, and I won't go over this whole thing, but he says, and it shall come to pass in the days of God, in the last day, says God. This is Joel prophesying. He's quoting the Old Testament. At this point in time, they didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. The Old Testament was completely done, and they had it, and Peter knew it, and he's not only preaching, but he's preaching from the Word of God. He says, let me tell you what's going on. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and young men will see visions. And he goes on and on and on. In this preaching, Three times he quotes Old Testament. What's he doing? He's doing the same thing Jesus did. He's doing the same thing Jesus did. There's all this unbelief, doubt and unbelief. What's the antidote to doubt and unbelief? The Word of God. The Word of God, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to cut out that unbelief. That's why it's so critical. In a cynical world, in a world where if you can't see it, you don't even believe it. And some people even seeing it, they don't believe it. In the cynical world that we believe in, you know, many people don't even believe in God. They don't, and if they do, they're cynical about God. You know, there's preachers who are mocked and made fun of, even in the body of Christ, because they encourage you to walk by faith and not by sight. And that now in this, there's this Christianity, intellectualness that says, oh, but we got to walk in wisdom. You know what? Watch this. Like walking in faith isn't walking in wisdom. And we can catch that, and it can become part of our cynicalness. But what is the antidote? The antidote is to listen to the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to change us, to cut that unbelief out. Now watch this. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Look what it says. Now when they had heard this, what? The preaching of the Word of God. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? These are the same people that just earlier, what did they say? Oh, you guys are drunk. I don't believe all this. You guys are just stupid. You guys are just acting drunk. I know you don't know this firsthand, okay? I know you don't know this firsthand. But how many know when your drunk friends get drunk, they act stupid? That's right. I know you don't know this firsthand. But you know that because your friends get drunk. And how many know when your friends get drunk, they act stupid? And they're so here's what's happening. How do they go? They go from thinking these guys are stupid to going, man, what do we got to do? What happened? Here's what happened. What cut them? They were cut to the heart. What happened? The Word of God that Peter preached got in there and cut out the unbelief. I'm telling you what, we live in a world so filled with unbelief that we need to be humble and open up our Bibles every day and say, God, speak to me today. I need an infusion of your faith, an infusion of your love. I need to be infused with a trust in you. And there's something that happens supernaturally. Why? Because the Word of God, you read it, the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. What's it powerful to do? It's powerful to get that unbelief out of your heart. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now watch this. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, have it up here on the screen, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now as the people, as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up to them. These apostles, they're preaching again, the Word of God. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preaching in Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. They're preaching the Word of God. They laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now watch this. However, many of those who heard the Word, what'd they hear? They're preaching the Word. They heard the Word. Many of those who heard the Word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why they came, did you see that? They came to believe. They heard and believed. They didn't believe before, but after they heard the Word of God, they were cut to the heart. All that junk, all that unbelief got out of them, and now they're like, man, I believe. But here's what I want you to catch. How many of them came to know the Lord? 5,000. How many know there was more than 5,000? How many know the guys that were seizing him, they didn't come to believe, did they? Like, man, we're going to throw you in jail. However, everybody say however. Now here's what I want to point out to you here. Look, one point is this. People respond to the cutting in two ways. People respond to the cutting, the word of God cutting them two ways. One way they respond is they're grateful. It cuts them in the heart. They say, what must I do to receive? Okay. One, it's a gratefulness. I trust and pray that you will, this week, be cut by the word of God. That as you read the scriptures that we've laid out for you in Hebrews, that you would be grateful. That when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, when he cuts through the junk and all the deception and all the manipulation and speaks to really who you are, that you'd say, thanks, God. Thanks for showing me this, man. I don't want to continue to be an idiot. Man, I want to really love my wife the way you want me to love her. And I'm not doing that right now. However the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Man, I'm really acting like I'm this, but I'm really not. And God, thank you. The other way that you can respond to the cutting. See, somebody cuts you, and remember the old Western movies, and they're cutting and they're like, okay, you know what? Here, you know what? Bite this. They put something in their mouth to bite, you know what I mean? And they're just, okay, you bite this, and we're going to cut, and we're going to take out that bullet. Why are we going to take out the bullet? Because if the bullet stays in there, you're going to die of infection. What we have to do is we got to get rid of that. Listen, when that happens, even though that person's cutting you, you need to be grateful for the person who's cutting you. Does that make sense? I remember years ago we had a lady, and she was coming here, and someone in her family was just continuing to mess up. And I had a good relationship with him, and I just got in his face. And I said, hey, I'll love you enough. You need to knock it off. And it really had an area where he was really doing some stuff to other sheep, and it was my responsibility. I wasn't just loving this guy. It was my responsibility to protect the sheep. And I got into the guy's face. But I said, you know what? I said, you know I love you. I'm telling you this because I love you. If you don't quit it, the ramifications are going to be significant. And I was praying and hoping that he received it. Well, here's what happened. You know what? I get a call from his mom the next day, and she's upset with me. And I was like, and I just told her. I said, listen, lady, I don't know where you're coming from, but I'm trying to save your son from hell. And what you should have done is had a one front with me in front of your son. But instead, you know what? You're going to come against me. And I'm telling you what, it's big time problem. See, God has cut you because he loves you. I guarantee you, if you're honest, you're going to read the word of God. You're going to read Hebrews. And man, he's going to cut you up. And he's going to teach you stuff. And he's going to show you stuff. And he's going to bring out stuff and say, that's you. You need to stop that. But the proper response is, thank you, God. Because he's only cutting that. You know, you ever see a mom with a two-year-old and a splinter? And this two-year-old is like freaking out. Mom, I hate you. Stop it. You're hurting me. And that mom, what's that mom? And the mom's like, hey, I don't care. I'm getting the splinter out. Hey, I'm a loving mom, that's what she does. You're hurting me, stop. I don't care. I'm getting that splinter out. Amen. What's the other response? The other response is, back off. Stop it. I'm going to turn to a passage of scripture a little in just a couple of minutes, and you're going to see, you know what? That's what's taking place in the church. That's what's taking place in the church. The Bible says that what's going to happen is they're going to find teachers who'll just tickle their ears. And can I be honest with you? Look at your neighbor. Say, not in this church. I would venture to say in most churches, you know what? A very low percent of people that go to the church read their Bible every day. A very, 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 very low percent actually read their Bible every day. What are they saying? They're saying, I don't, back off. I don't need this. You know what? I don't need this. I you know what? Sometimes coming into the sermon, I think, man, I'm going to say that to them. He says, yeah, say that to them. That's what I want you to say to them. And just so you know, and I mean this sincerely, you know what? There's so many times that God deals with me. And I try my very best not to tell you to do something that I am not walking in. I mean that sincerely. But I also need you to understand that there can be in yourself this resistance of that person cutting you. Because your flesh goes, hey, they're bad. Think about it, they're cutting you. They're bad. Your flesh says that. Your spirit doesn't say that, but your flesh does. Are you learning some things? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Look what God wants. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Look what God wants. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing might come. You know what God wants? God, just like that doctor who's saying, man, just be tough, eat it, bite that bullet. You know what? I'm going to get this out. Be tough. Because you know what God wants? God wants you to deal with those sins, that there would be times of what? Refreshing. That's what he wants. That's what God wants. Now, I'm almost done. But I need to go over one more thing with you. Again, how many have been saved longer than 3 years? Raise your hand. Okay. I could be talking to you. Say this part could be for me. Okay, and it's so important that you recognize that, because, and I'm not saying maybe you've been saved for 2 years. I could still be talking to you, or maybe 1 year. I could still be talking to you. Because all of us can do this. But there's this tendency, I'll show it to you in the Word, that what happens is in the course of time. Well, let me show it to you. You read it this week. It's in Hebrews, starting with chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5. This should be, guys. Hebrews chapter 5, you have verse 8 in the New King James? Guys in the back, you got chapter 8 in New King James, 8 through 11. Should just be New King James. Do you have that? Chapter 5, verse 8, 8 through 11. Okay, watch this. We read this week. Though he was his son, he's talking about Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Next verse. And having been perfected, this is Jesus, he became the author and of eternal salvation to all who what? Okay, great sermons. Another sermon, like to go there, but don't have time. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Next verse. Of whom we have much to say. Okay, now here it is. Are you ready? And hard to explain. Why is it hard to explain? Because they're not good teachers? No. And hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, here's what I want to catch. Since you have become. Everybody say have become. Maybe you've been coming to church for 8 years. Maybe you've been coming to church for 5 years. Maybe you're coming to church for 30 years. Maybe you've been saved for a long time. And in the course of time, there's something gradually happened, and you can come to church every week and never hear anything the same. And there's no application to your life. And so you don't hear it. Jesus said, hearing, they don't hear. And seeing, they don't see. They all had ears on their head, but they had become what? Ever see dull of hearing? Now watch this. Now show it to me in the NIV. You guys got that? Just the 11th verse in the NIV? Okay. And we have much to say about this. We want to say something to you. We want to preach to you. We want you to get it. But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. You're dull of hearing. You no longer try to understand. You're like, that's his pastor. He just gets on that. He just gets on that tithing stuff. Amen. He gets on that you know what, lust thing. And he's like, look at another version. Go to that next version. Look what this version says. I have a lot more to say about this. Man, I want to get this. I want you guys to get this. I want to say something to you. But it is hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. It doesn't say you picked up a bad habit of not coming. You picked up a bad habit of not listening. See, how many people come, but they never hear? Jesus again said, he who has ears, let them hear. And you've resisted the word of God. You've resisted it. And it here's what happens. And now you don't want, you come, but you don't hear. And what's the problem with that? Unbelief can't be rooted up. And you think that because you came to church, you're like, no, I'm doing good. No. I want to show you a couple of passages that we just recently read. You know, it's amazing just to read the Bible every day, how much revelation knowledge, and all of a sudden you start to understand. I gotta find it. Just give me a minute. Yeah. Guys, you can throw it up here as soon as you can, but just listen to this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 2. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Now listen. Listen to this with ears, not a dull hearing. Can you do that? Have you been saved too long? Has the word become to you the Charlie Brown? Remember Charlie Brown listening to your teacher? Here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to allow the word to cut your heart. Did you allow that word of dull hearing? Did you allow that to cut your heart? Or did you automatic? Some of you won't even get this. No, I don't want to say that. Some people could not even get this because they already wham me out when I said dull hearing. When I said, how many have been saved for longer than, and I went through that thing, you took offense. And you already automatically said, not me. If you automatically said, this didn't apply to me, that's a good indication that you're dull in hearing. I'm just being straight up. It's a good indication. Can we walk in humility? You know what will bring a sharpness in your hearing? A humility. They're offended. It's something that I've done. Maybe some of you have been coming here for 8 years. 9 years, 10 years. And something that I've done has offended you. No duh. You know, stay here 10 more years. I'll offend you a lot more.
Oh,
Yeah, somebody said amen to that. Don't say amen to that. But you know what? I'm telling you, I will. And when you come in, I've told you, and I'll tell you again. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you haven't found it. Don't put that on me, because I can't carry that weight. There's only one perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. And understand, if you allow what I did or what I said, not intent. Listen, guys, I love you guys. I love you guys. And I try to be a good pastor. But listen, I'm just telling you what, if you think you found a perfect church, don't be deceived, because here's what's going on. Satan's trying to set you up to be offended. And you get offended, and guess what? And you become dull in hearing. Has somebody been around this? Is somebody going to walk in humility and recognize, I'm just like you? I'm not perfect. I am like Mary Poppins, so. Actually, the truth is, my wife is more like Mary Poppins than I am. Amen. But here's my point. Listen. Preach the word of God. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering teaching. Here's why. Watch this. Go next verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You think there's only one place in the Word of God? Turn on over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, you see the unbelieving part? And unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess, oh, did you catch it? They profess to what? To know God. No, man, I go to church. I know you go to church. That's not the question. The question is, do you allow the word of God to cut your heart? That's the question. I go to church. I know you go to church. Obviously you go to church. You're here. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. But I want you just here. I want you to be here. I want you to be here with a humble heart. I want you to be so humble that you're going to allow your pastor to tell you what to do. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, you should if I'm telling you to read your Bible every day. All right, one more. Are you happy? Turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 5. No, Hebrews, where are we? I'll find it. Give me a second. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles and the oracles of God. Now let me say this. That doesn't mean you're all called to be preachers. But because you're not all called, God only calls some to be preachers. But you're all called to be able to be cut by the word of God and mature, that you could share your faith with somebody at work. Yeah. I heard just yesterday, 93% of people that call themselves Christians, 93% don't share their faith with anybody. And I believe that part of that is because they're such a baby Christian, they feel like they can't share their faith. But let's go on. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the principles and oracles of God. And you have need, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Everybody say milk and not solid food. How do you ever see a baby? A little baby. You ever see a baby jump up out of his crib and then walk over and then get like a step stool and jump on up to the step stool and start grilling a steak? You know, these commercials are funny. They have these babies talking and stuff. You ever see a baby do that? No, baby doesn't cook himself steak. A baby has someone else give them milk. Is that not right? I think it's interesting, the correlations. I expect that you would come and every Sunday and every Wednesday hear the Word of God, but I'm giving you the Word of God. You know what I expect? I expect on Tuesday and Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday that you step up to the plate and get your own food. Babies don't get their own food. But mature people get their own food. Is that not right? You think that's just a correlation? I don't think that's just a coincidence. Watch this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the principles of God, verse 12, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone, here's what I want to, I said all this to say this. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Watch this, verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. What does that mean, Pastor? What are you getting to? I'm saying if you have become dull of hearing and someone is gossiping out on the grass, you haven't, because you haven't done anything. Pastor, what are you talking about? Can I tell you what? The Word of God reveals to us what's really going on for our help. Everybody ought to be involved in serving some way. Watch this. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is. Who are those? What is that? Somebody will go, oh, I'm a full age Christian. No, you're not. If you're full age Christian, if you're so mature that I'm not, Pastor, you seem like you're ripping on people who are not serving. No, I'm just pointing out what's going on. Listen, can I take one of my positions? One of my positions is to warn you against you. That doesn't mean I don't love you. It does mean I do love you. But have the integrity to look at yourself. Are you so hard of hearing? Are you so dull? Have you become this? Have you got in this bad habit of hearing but never hearing? But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, now it's going to define it, those who by reason of use. Everybody say reason of use. You know what that is? That's having heard the reason, I will do. That's right, reason of use. You want to see reason of use? Look at our interns. They are reason of use. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised. To discern both good and evil. Their senses are exercised. They're doing the Word of God, and because they're doing the Word of God, they are able to discern. When you don't do the Word of God, you're not having, and you become dull of hearing, and then you don't even know. Somebody's gossiping in the courtyard in the grassy area, and you say, oh, they did that? Pastor's like that? Really?
You don't even know what it is. It's a seed of discord that you need to. Listen, if somebody throws a seed of discord at me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it and I'm going to put my finger down my throat. You know why I'm going to put my finger down my throat? Because I need to vomit that out. Someone says, oh, dude, just, you know what? After, you know what? Let's just smoke a joint with me, dude. Let's just get high, dude. Like, nobody says that to you. Yeah, they do. I know what's going on. Listen, if this doesn't apply to you, maybe you're like, oh, I don't want to smoke weed. I just, you know, get drunk. Okay, whatever. The Bible's, listen, you see it. Your senses aren't sensitive. You don't know good from evil. Love you guys. You're not generous. You see, generosity is stupidity. Because you haven't had your senses exercised. Can I tell you what? Generosity is one of the smartest things you ever did to you. That's what the Bible says. It's better to give than receive. Because when you give, you become a farmer and you start investing. And when you do it for a while, there comes this seed comes back to you on every wave. But you don't know. And here's the scary part. You think good is bad and bad is good. And love you guys. And you don't even know. I don't know about you, but I just know what God is doing in my life. God is speaking honestly to me. Let me just tell you what's going to happen. I hope you're part of what's going to happen in our church. But let me just tell you what's going to happen. I knew this prophetically. I spoke to you prophetically last week. But here's what's going to happen. People at Hope are going to start to read their Bible every day. And they're going to start to listen to this sermon twice a week minimum. And through just simply doing that, they're going to become whole in themselves. They're going to start to discern good from evil. I'll take it right back to the start and then I'll stop. Those people at Jesus' hometown, they had Jesus Christ in front of them and they weren't able to discern. God is going to start, he's already started, moving in people's hearts that our religion isn't going to be a religious thing. It's going to become a relationship. And every day, we're going to open up our Bible and let God speak to us. And every week, we're going to humble out and say, I need to hear that sermon again. And I will not have any excuses. If I have to buy a Bluetooth, I'm going to get a Bluetooth. If I have to, you know what, figure out, if I have to go to Vegas and say, I don't understand why, you know. Don't let any excuse except I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to listen to this sermon twice. Tara.
Should I clap now? I'm not sure. Love you guys.
They clap because they love it or they clap because you're done? What do you think? They love it. They love it. They love it. Listen, a wise man loves chastisement and correction. That's what the Bible says. You know what? And we are wise to love it. You know what? Too. So many times in the Word of God, it tells us we're to take account of ourselves. We're to judge ourselves before we get judged. It is amazing. I was talking to another member of in the church this week. We were talking about our daily Bible reading. We've been going back and forth, just sharing with each other. And I said, you know, I'm going to get like a red, really, we should all do this. I says, this is good. I'm going to get like a red, I recently just got a new Bible that Pastor Drew got me. So is kind of cool. You know how you love your Bible and it's all marked up and it's got your notes everywhere? But I just found something cool about not having my old Bible, that I don't have it all marked up everywhere. So I've got this opportunity where I can start brand new. And these things that I was talking to a sister in the church, and I said, you know, if you just take from Titus to where we're at right now, Hebrews, it is mind-blowing how much we are warned and told of the importance of us being in the Word and knowing the Word and living the Word and knowing Him. That's how we know Him, is through all of that. It is just mind-blowing. And it's so, these who do this are the ones who have eternal salvation. We just read that this week. All who do this, what is this? This is what we're talking about. These are the ones who have eternal salvation. I said, you know what? I'm going to get like a red highlighter. I don't think I've ever seen a red highlighter. I'm going to get something. And I'm going to start just every time I see something like that. You know, with a scripture that says, many will say, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Many will say, and I will say to them, I never knew you, right? So, but that is such a clear choice when you start to look at the Word of God, because we are just told and 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 told. So I said, I'm going to start, every time I see it, I'm going to circle it in red, or I'm going to do something with it. And I'm sure in just a short period of time, I'm going to go, oh my goodness, because I'm already doing that. Just from Titus to Hebrews, just where we're at, there's just a ton of it. And I don't think that that's just a special section in the Word, because I know all other places where it's at. So what God is saying to us is, come closer to me than you ever have, wherever you're at on this. You know what? Maybe you just are the person who says, I read it every day, but you ain't never picked up your Bible. Maybe you're the person who reads your Bible every day. And maybe you're somewhere in between there. Irrelevant. Here's what God is saying to all of us. Come close to me. And here's another thing he's saying. Quickly. Quickly. This is not a time for us to miss it. So it's a good time. You know what I mean? God loves us, and he loves us enough that he's saying, come here. Come on, quickly, quickly. Let's go, quickly. Do it. And he's saying it and saying it and saying it. And it's for our benefit, I assure you. The Word of God is so good. And it is life to those who find it. And it's health, the Bible says. Wow. And it's alive. It's our relationship with him. And then we're able to hear him so well. We're not dull of hearing. It's all good. It's all good. And so I love, Joel has been working on a hope app. Yeah. So close. We're so close. So pretty soon we're going to have a hope app. And with the hope app, one of the things that's kind of delaying it is I've asked him, can you make it so that if many of us have the Bible app, the Version Bible app, you know how we're taking our notes on that? Okay, so many of us have that. And if you have that and you do your reading in there and you highlight things, then I can see what Vegas highlighted and what she liked, and she can see what I liked, and we've got this little club going on. But we're going to, in the Hope app, you know what? Yeah, we'll all be able to not only read our Bible every day, but to comment on what and to point out things that are highlighting to us and things that we're loving in it, and we're going to be able to see it and just really encourage one another. Amen? Today is a day of encouragement to just say, hey, wherever you're at with God, come closer. And do it quickly, because he loves us. He's got good stuff for us. Amen?